Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Brandon, I'm going back to the spiritual voice because it is Faith Fridays here on the Smarticle Podcast.
I know. I do love how you lower your voice every time. You're very peaceful. Sure.
I like the spiritual voice.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we're going through a series called Detachment from the Center of Action and Contemplation. Find them at CAC.org. Today's lesson is called The Spirituality of Letting Go. Are you ready to let go, Brandon?
I am definitely ready to let go, Larry. Let's do this. Let's let go together.
Here's a quote from our good friend, Richard Rohr. In the larger-than-life people I've met, I always find one common denominator. In some sense, they've all died before they died, and thus they're larger than death. Please think about that. At some point, they were led to the edge of their private resources, and that breakdown, which surely felt like dying, led them to a larger life. One more snippet. Each time I learned to let go of what I thought was necessary for my own happiness, I invariably find myself in a larger place, a larger space, a deeper union, and a greater sense of joy. I'm sorry that I can't prove to you that ahead of time. We only know it after the fact. Now, this is Richard, in the last season of my life, I realize that what is in front of me is still largely darkness, but it doesn't matter. That's because letting go has taught me that I can look back, not forward, back at the past of my life, and I can truthfully say, what have I ever lost by dying? What have I ever lost by losing? I have fallen upward again and again. Woo!
Yeah. Preach. Well, this is probably the cornerstone piece of his entire, this whole Center for Action and Contemplation, the whole ideology of it is probably found right in this. So let's start by saying that this is not the Christian cliche of letting go and letting God, is it, Larry?
Oh, it's not.
Right? It's not, right? That is okay. A Christian Good. Cliche Thanks of like, oh, you know, just let God take care of it. What's going on here is saying that, in a sense, you have to let go of even trying to figure out God in this. That you have to die to yourself to say, I do not have the answers. There's a couple of things in here, and we'll talk about the falling upwards piece, because that's a big part of Richard Rohr's sort of framework. He wrote one of my all-time favorite books called Falling Upwards. This idea of death to self. And I think that when he talks about I wish I'd known when I was a younger man about this. And he says, but I'm at the end of my life and I'm looking at, and I'm able to look back and say, in a sense, forgive himself for not being able to do this. And I think that's a big part of it. I think if you're honest with yourself, if you look backwards 20 years, you're a different person than you were 20 years ago.
I vividly remember the night you walked into my house and you said, Larry, you're not living in the second half of your life. And I was like, what are you talking about? And you looked at my wife and you said, Karen, you're probably never going to live in the second half of your life.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
You shouldn't have. But that's the point, right? We spend half of our lives trying to make something of ourselves. And at some point we go, I'm never going to do anything. And then you give it up and you die to it. And that's this.
And full disclosure, I honestly think that it's a constant reexamination of that piece.
Of course.
So I came to I remember that night too. And I remember how mad your wife was at me. And she was like, what are you talking about? I was like, well, you might have to give up your children. You might have to give up your job. You might have to give up. Like, in a sense, that's what we're talking about.
Totally,
is saying,
totally,
I don't know. I don't have control over everything. And anything that I put in front of that, in a sense, is idol worship, including your children. Now, moms in particular, it's really hard. But I think that if your wife was on this show right now and she was talking, she would agree with me. No, she would. She's even, to a degree, she's told me that this is closer to her now than it was when we had that conversation. She's more aware. It's not saying you're going to be perfect and you're going to give everything up and you're not going to. You and I battle all day long trying to build this show and do this stuff. So it's not like all of a sudden, the idea, let's define the first half and second half of life for people that are listening. First half of life, Rohr says, is a very, very important half. It's like when you get your education, when you get your first job, and you build
building your ego.
You're building your ego, you're building your tower, you're building your family, you're building the things in your life. He says the second half of life is when you tear those things down. But if you don't go through the first half to teach yourself what is and what is not important, what's real and what's not real, it's almost impossible to get to the second half of life. That's why when you meet people, that are young or young-ish that have that second half of life experience and they're able to do that, it's incredible. Like when you see those people that are really, really young and are able to sort of understand this, they've built their ego at a young, somehow it happened to them. I think those are saints, personally.
Well, I mean, to be honest, the reason is like you have something happen in your life when you're, my dad died when I was 25.
Yeah.
And at that point you go, oh, you're not due a family structure and a dad for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
And you go like, it's, You die. You go.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
oh.
Children of divorce could say the same thing, right? You lose
it's
your family
exactly
structure,
it.
And I think it's how we decide to deal with that. We can choose to live our life saying, "Oh, for the rest of my life, I'm going to try to stay away from that as far as I possibly can." Right? I'm never going to leave my family. I'm never going to. It's like you can't guarantee anything. But the only thing you can do is say, "I am going to daily." By the way, this is scriptural. This is not just some wacky thing, although I think lots of evangelicals would lose their mind around this because they say, oh, it's too squishy. I had a friend call it squishy theology. I'm like, no, it's not. Jesus talks about this all the time, about a death to self, a death to the idea of, he says, listen, to the rich young rulers, the classic example of falling upwards. He says to the rich young ruler in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, comes to him and says, Rabbi, I've done everything right. I follow the rules. I follow the law. I'm an upright man. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, okay, great. Well done. Now go home and sell everything you have and then come and follow me. And in that moment, the rich young ruler says he can't do it. He cannot give up that part. He cannot die to himself. So we have this perfect model and example. By the way, the addendum to that story is a lot of theologians believe that's the actual author who is the rich young ruler and that later on he becomes truly able to fall upward. So it's never an end piece. I know we're both friends with Pastor Fred Harrell, who was the pastor at your church at City Church San Francisco, who's retired. And I read some of his stuff that he puts out, and I know that you have mixed feelings about everything, but he is in the process of trying to figure that out. How do you change your life?
Yeah.
And I really respect that. I respect anybody, as imperfect as they are and as imperfect as we all are, that are trying desperately to figure, to never say, oh, that's it. I'm done. I can't ever change. I can't fix it. No, you can, but you've got to be willing to die to yourself and say, I don't have any of the answers.
By the way, literally die too. I think it's Tibet somewhere. I read this study about like, it's Tibet or Kathmandu somewhere where they literally think about their death every day. It's in their culture. They think about their death.
Well, that's Buddhism. And it's the idea of thinking that I am already dead so that therefore you can accept it when it comes type thing.
But also,
I think that's Zen Buddhism, actually. But anyway, go on.
But when you think about that literally, it actually helps you live.
Yeah.
If you think about you're not guaranteed tomorrow, you live better today.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, this is, by the way, this is not rocket science. This has been talked about and talked about and talked about. We constantly hear this. Hollywood loves to throw out these platitudes about this, and then yet they can never live that way because they're so caught up in their egos. It's not just a saying, I want to pretend I'm going to be dead tomorrow. It's about your ego. Your ego says, oh, I'm great. I'm this and I'm that. I'm like, if you can let your ego go for a second to realize you are just like everyone else. And that's why I think that wisdom that grows with age is so incredibly important. Now, I'm in this group with a bunch of guys. I was just talking with them. They're about 20 years younger than me. And it's really hard for me in some ways. No, it is hard for me, honestly, because they're just in different phases of their own mental life. They're when I talk about these things, they kind of look at me like I'm crazy, and maybe I am, but I'm like, you know what? I just, like, they want to get into theological discussions, and we need to have rules. If there are no rules, then how could, people will do whatever they want in the church. I'm like, yeah, but that's the point. If they're led to this falling upward, they're not going to do something crazy. So you got to, it's just one of those weird, it's like, again, that Chinese finger puzzle. The harder you pull it, the harder it sticks. The more you let go, the more it releases. And I just think that that's the key to all of this. I think that Rohr, for those that have been following Richard Rohr, know that he had a cancer diagnosis that he might not live that much longer. But he continues to say, I look into the abyss, in a sense, and live every day falling upwards. And I love that, even that term, falling upwards. We're not falling down, we're falling up.
I think it's in everything, this dying thing. It's about your kids, right? I mean, we all think our kids are, you know, going to be great athletes,
right?
And you're at their game and you're yelling at the ref. But if you just die to the, like, you know what, they're going to be what they're going to be, and I'm not going to push. If you die to them being a MLB star, then you're good with it. By the way, it's also like with looks, getting older, if you just go like, you know, I become a guy with wrinkles on my face,
right,
and you die, then go like, man, I get old. Then you're dying to this idea that you were ever good looking to begin with.
Yeah, and in the sense that there is something joyful in every phase of this,
yes,
that life is full of these wonderful things, and that you're going to miss the wonder of it if you spend all your time,
yep,
hanging on to these old towers, if you will. It's, again, not that building a family is a bad thing. It's a great thing. It's a good thing. Not that having, you know, a career is a bad thing. It's a great thing. But you've got to remember that your career is not you. Your career is just something that maybe you fell into or you were good at because of a genetic lottery, whatever it is.
Totally.
But that's not what your soul work is about. And that's what this is about. It's about, for lack of a better term, I could just hear all my evangelical friends freaking out when I say this, soul work. Soul work is moving outside of ego work. The soul is, you have no control over your soul. You can only allow God to work within that. So you've got to open it up to allow God to do the work. It's that simple. And I could just hear people listen to this going, whoa, these two nut jobs. Okay, so be it. But I'm doing the very best I can to find peace in my life. So you, if somebody that's listening to this has figured it all out, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
I just hope that maybe Uncle Rico on the side of the road living his glory days in the football team is like, you know what? I'm going to put it down.
You're not going to be Uncle Rico? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, just, you're done. Your glory days are over. Let it die. You
it
know?
Is it is hard to do that, right? Because we spend so, yes, much of our life trying to build up our ego to say, hey, I'm good enough to do this. To say, yeah, maybe I'm not anymore. Or maybe I never was. There's peace in that. There's freedom in that death.
I totally get that. Thank you, basically, Brandon, for telling me that I don't look good anymore, that these wrinkles and my eyebrows that are way too long, it doesn't matter. Thank you for teaching me, Brandon.